Because as believers, you need to be aware of what the Word of God says, first of all. Second of all, you need to know how to respond. Too many believers are not responding right to the times that we live. And we have to know how to respond. Amen? Amen. Turn in your Bibles today to Titus chapter 2. We're talking about the state of the nation, America in Bible prophecy. And we're going to continue this today. Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles. And then when you have it there, just put your hand right on the Bible. Or if your Bible's on your phone. Or if you don't have one, we're going to put it on the screen. Just put it over your heart. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you today for the incredible spirit of worship. Lord, that we would see you and know you today. Lord, I thank you for the atmosphere that we have the privilege of gathering together to see you, to be with you, to know you. Now, Lord, let your word speak to us by your spirit. Let the spirit and word agree. And let us see something in the eyes of heaven and not the eyes of earth today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So these are not easy messages, but these are important ones. And I'm going to do this second part today. Look at Titus chapter 2, and we're going to go down to verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says this: For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Look at verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I want you to look at this today, and I want you to understand that when we're looking at the idea of prophetic scripture in the days that we live, it is important that we're looking for the right thing. A lot of people are looking, what's going to happen next? Well, what about this? What about this issue that we're facing? How long till this? But really, it's about looking for Jesus, right? Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So listen, is the testimony of Jesus important? Absolutely. It's what prophecy is all about. It's Jesus. It always speaks to Jesus, not to the world, to Jesus. Not to fear, to Jesus. Not to the Antichrist, to Jesus. We have an objective today, and the objective is to see Christ. People have asked me things like, well, with COVID-19 and all of the crazy things that are happening in the world and all of the problems, is this the end? Absolutely not. Matthew 24 describes all of these things happening, and then it says, and the end is not yet. But it says there will be a global move of God. There will be a worldwide evangelism. One more time, we're going to see a revival that will shake the world, and then the end will come. But these things are leading us up to the end, and we need to know what's happening and where we are headed, because the end is coming very soon. So, as bad as things might get today, I want you to understand that it gets much worse. In Revelation 6, that's the four horsemen, and the pale horseman kills a fourth of mankind on planet Earth during that time. Right? There are almost 8 billion people in the world right now, so that'd be almost 2 billion people dead. Now, we've had 500,000, I think, or so die from this current virus. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed nearly 80 million, so it was bad, but it's all very minor in comparison to what will happen. The good news is, if you know Jesus, you likely will not be here. Amen? So, that's the good news. Or you say it's going to get worse. Yes, but with you, if you know Jesus, it's going to get better. Hallelujah. So, like we said, our objective in Bible prophecy is to look for Jesus Christ, to look for the coming of Jesus Christ, and it's important that believers talk about this. It's important that you understand how much of the Bible speaks to this. So when we talk about what's going on in the world, it's so that we can watch and be ready. The Bible says in Luke 21:36 to watch and pray, right? If you're watching and not praying, you're going to get distracted by the world around you. There's a lot of Christians today. I watch how they post on things, and I'm realizing they're watching, but they're not praying. If you pray and you don't watch, then you won't see what God's trying to show you. You have to watch and pray. Watch and pray. The other thing is you have to be salt and light like never before, because we live in a world of darkness that needs light. God needs us to be who He's called us to be in this day that we live in. Amen? It's important. So with that in mind, I'm setting some foundation with these scriptures. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. If you want to turn there, this is one of the most powerful teachings of Jesus in what they called the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to read you this excerpt. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Then it goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. They don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on its stand, a lampstand, to give light to the whole house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Have you ever had a really salty meal? You know what salt does? It makes you thirsty. And I believe that's what it's talking about in one perspective, because not only are Christians sent to season or flavor the world, but we also want to promote thirst. If you've lost your saltiness as Christians, if the church has lost its saltiness, then the Bible says you're good for nothing but to be cast away. Salt without savor is just sand. Nobody likes to eat sand. So this is what I want to happen in this message. I want to see you become salty and thirsty, and I want to see you make others thirsty by your saltiness. We're watching these things around us and all of these things that we tend to obsess over. I hope we're not driving people away from Jesus by our behavior. Not in just doing stuff, but in how we react to stuff and how we react to each other. We want to be salt in ways that make people thirsty for Jesus. You see, people should say to salty Christians, "There's something about you that creates in me a thirst. I want to know what you know. I want to know who you know. I want to connect to what you're connected to. I want to have what you have." By the way, salt also preserves, right? And it heals. In biblical times, they would use salt for a preservative. You can preserve meat with salt, and you can see the culture that we live in has a lot of decay. Amen? It's putrefying. So if the meat starts to stink around your life, if the meat is starting to stink in your family, in your workplace, in your culture, maybe it's because there's not enough salt in you. We have to understand how we respond to a world that is in crisis. And we don't respond by jumping into the crisis with the world. We have to be salt and light. Amen? We have to. Too many Christians are doing more not to reach somebody than they are to reach somebody. They're talking more about culture than they are the kingdom of God. Christians have a tendency to group together with each other and then not do much for the world that God put them in, right? God called us to do something. He didn't say to say something to the world. We're supposed to be doers of the word. You know something about salt? Salt is great if you spread it out, if you sprinkle it on. But if you pile it in a pile and then try to eat it, it's terrible. It's a lot like Christians get piled doing stuff, but it doesn't always taste good. It's terrible. You need to sprinkle the salt in your life around. Amen? I heard somebody say once, this is great, Christians are like manure. Spread out, they can do a lot of good, but piled up, they just make a big stink. Amen. How many know we need to be spreading around what's inside of us? Which hopefully isn't manure, but I thought it was a funny saying. Anyway, so Matthew goes on to say, it's the light of the world, right? Let your light so shine before men that they could see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. So here's the question to ask yourself. When people spend time with you, look at you, read your stuff on social media, does it make them want to glorify God? Does it make them want to look to God? You see, no matter how dark things seem to be, light is never overpowered by darkness. You might think you just have a little bitty light, but your little bitty light is still more powerful than darkness. But when you try to fight darkness with darkness, it just stays dark. You hear what I'm saying? So in the last message, we set these prophetic insights and predictions about where America will go in the days ahead and what the Bible says and what it doesn't say about America. And what I want you to see today as we kind of dig into this a little deeper is that chaos, and I would even say intentional chaos, is a key to interpreting what's happening around us. God gave me a dream. I'm not going to go over it with you. I shared it in the last message. He gave me a dream about these waves, these 11 foot waves, and 11 is the number of chaos and judgment. Chaos is always meant to stir up trouble. And that's what is going to usher in the things that we see in the end times. It's also important for us as the church because it's a sign so that we can understand where we are in God's trajectory as we move toward the great appearing of his son, Jesus Christ. So what we're seeing today is this intentional crisis. And by the way, I do believe everything we're seeing around us is intentional. There are no coincidences today. There's not any accidents today. So hear me well. America is in crisis, but the problem is America doesn't realize it's in crisis. Even Christians in the church don't realize there's a crisis. These issues that we've had with racial unrest and riots and widespread viral infections and capital invasion. You might be all worked up, but this is just a small symptom of something that's actually much worse happening in our country right now. As a nation, we are more divided than any time in history outside of the Civil War. We're definitely in more trouble than we've ever been. We're seeing things we never imagined we would see. Americans eating away at themselves, litigation of depraved behavior, all the while thinking that things are still going to be pretty much the same tomorrow as they have been yesterday. Things next year is going to be maybe a little different, but not much different than it was last year. But let me tell you, there has been a shift. There has been a tipping point, and America as a nation has tipped. So to begin with, here's what I have to tell you, and it does get feel a little dark in relation to Bible prophecy. That although we have not crossed the threshold yet, we will see the decline and fall of the American experiment to a degree that will be virtually beyond repair. And as an American, that actually saddens me even to say. But as a student of Scripture, we see America nowhere in the influence of the world in the end times. America will become a follower. It actually already is becoming a follower, assimilated into a Western confederacy that will be ultimately one day governed by the Antichrist. Just like Judah, if you study the Bible, was taken by Babylon after many years into captivity in the Old Testament, America will also one day be assimilated by a new Babylon that will arise. So all your worrying about the constitutionality of our system, all your concern over social inequalities past and present, all your obsessing about what political party is in control, all your bickering with each other over worldly things, all your talk about whose lives matter, won't matter. It won't matter. Not on this earth anyway. None of it will matter because America won't matter. I'm telling you this not to discourage you. I'm telling you this so that you can focus on the thing that needs to be focused on, right? We will self-destruct. A different government will rule us. There will be a new constitution that will control your children. Other nations will be here in the end times. China, Russia, Turkey, Iran, Europe, Saudi Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, even Sudan and Ethiopia are all mentioned in the end times in Bible prophecy. But there's only a couple of vague references to America. The question is why? Why wouldn't one of the greatest powers that has ever existed in the world barely be referenced in Bible prophecy? As I preached last week, there is a decay. It already is decaying inside of us. There is an economic collapse that will certainly come, and we will lose then, of course. The exciting part is the rapture of the church, but here on earth, if you aren't in the rapture, you will see a significant portion of the population disappear. And in that breaking moment, everything will change irreversibly. I was preaching about this chaotic mess that we're in today literally a year ago at the beginning of 2020. My father was teaching and prophesying things that we're seeing happen today. He was preaching it 40 years ago. He was prophesying it 40 years ago. Why? Because he's Nostradamus? No, because he has the Bible. And because the Bible explains what's going to happen, it pushes us forward, not so we could be discouraged, but so we could know that God has called you to be alive in one of the most profound times the earth has ever seen, possibly to see one of the greatest moves of God the earth has ever seen, and ultimately to be a light in greater darkness than we've ever seen. And that's not bad news, that's good news. We just have to focus on the right things. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's so important. Well, Pastor Lynn, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Right? In 2 Peter 1:19, Peter said it this way: we have a more sure word of prophecy, and you need to take heed to that. It's more sure than what you see on the news, especially today. But even though Scripture supports our downfall, it will be us who does it to ourselves. In the resounding words of the famous Pogo comic, we have met the enemy, and he is us. Some of you are walking around and offended and mad, church hurt over things that will one day be meaningless. It just won't matter. So we have to evaluate what we value. Now listen, when I say things like this, I'm not saying that we don't stand for righteousness. We don't occupy till we come. We don't have a sense and a mind toward justice. We just have to understand how all of that is working in the trajectory of where God is taking us as a people. So we get very quick to respond to whatever media pushes our buttons, whatever social media pushes our buttons. You know, if the church would respond to the Holy Spirit as strongly as they do the media, we would see a move of God. We would see a move of God. And I thank God that we're in a church that responds to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm speaking a broader message, but I'm telling you, I'm thankful to be in this house. Because when we put culture over kingdom instead of kingdom over culture, the Bible has a word for that. It's called idolatry. And God will have nothing put before him. We love our idols in America. But here's what idols do. They get a hold of you, and they demand things from you, and they call you to worship them, and they call you to worship them until they kill you. That's what idols do. And I'm not trying to go conspiracy theory on you, but you need to understand that there is a systematic plan behind what you're seeing. There are actually people in the earth systematically planning things, and the earth and America follows like cattle in a corral. They're demonically inspired people that are intentionally planning for America to go down. I know that's hard to think about, but it's true. But here's why it's important, because God actually showed us ahead of time that this is the kind of thing that will have to align. Why? So that another world power can take place, so that the end times can emerge. The pieces are being positioned right now, and we get to see it in our lifetime. So I want to say it this way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, you don't have to turn there, it says these words, "Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Everybody say perilous. Let me read it from the New International Version. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Say terrible. The English Standard Version reads this way, "But understand this, in the last days there will come times of great difficulty." The New Revised Standard says, "You must understand, in the last days, distressing times will come." And the Amplified Bible says it this way, "Understand that in the last days, dangerous times of stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear." Do you see all these descriptions? It basically, if you can put these different translations together, it says perilous, terrible, distressing, dangerous times of difficulty and trouble will come that will be hard to bear. Aren't you encouraged that you came to church today? Hallelujah. Come on. It's a growing picture of the times in which we live. Not for us to look and get depressed about, but for us to see that God is working, that this has already been told to us that it will happen. We're seeing the beginning of this kind of nosedive of the American system. There is a significant decline of American faith in our government, in our electoral system, in our economy, in our culture. We have lost faith largely in something that we had a lot of faith in a few decades ago. Besides that, there is the dividing of Americans and literal hatred everywhere, expressed every day on our streets. And I want to go a little deeper and let you see the underpinning of why this is happening. And it has to do with a worldview. And I want to really focus in on this today. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you, because it's going to tie right in to Bible prophecy. People are asking me, "Pastor Lynn, why is everybody so contentious? Why is everybody so angry?" It's COVID-19. I know it's COVID. It's the isolation. It's all that. It may be, but there's something more. It's really about a worldview. And it's about how people in America see America. And this may sound too political, and however you perceive this, I don't care. I'm just stating a matter of fact. All right, the last presidential campaign was built around this mantra, "Make America Great Again," America first. And here's what it speaks to. It speaks to a time, a worldview of American independence and solidarity that was post-World War II. You saw this same mindset arise in who we were. We were competing against the world. It was us and them. It was this whole idea that we call nationalism. It's a nationalistic worldview. So nationalism has been a staple value of this nation for at least the last century. But there has been a huge move culturally, especially in the last decade, toward a different worldview called globalism. Say globalism. This is a very different worldview, and I'm going to show you its importance in Bible prophecy. A globalist always sees the worldview in light of a much larger scope, even willing to sacrifice national well-being for the cause of a more global-focused culture, if you will. Look at Brexit, right? That's been big lately. Great Britain separating itself from the European Union, maintaining its independence, largely because they have a very nationalistic worldview that still exists. But if you watch the news around that time, you'll find out, like America, it was a very 50-50 divide. It was a very, very close decision on whether they were going to do that or not. Nationalism has the same underlying value that you see when you take a flight. And the flight attendant gets up at the front of the airplane, and they're demonstrating how to do your seatbelt. And then they take a moment, they take this little yellow mask. If you've been on a flight, and they let it drop down, this is a mask. If the aircraft loses pressure, you're going to take this mask and put it over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. That's a joke all by itself. But when you see that, what they say is make sure that you put the mask on yourself first before you try to put it on your child, if you have a child with you. Why? Because they know that it's the tendency of a parent to want to help their child first. But if they try to help their child first, the lack of pressure, they may pass out and not be able to help either one of them. So they have to tell you, do this first. So in a manner of speaking, that's how a nationalist thinks. Like that safety demonstration, take care of yourself first, and then you'll have what you need to help somebody else. So this shift from nationalism to globalism is very important in regards to where God is taking both our nation and the earth in Bible prophecy. Why? Because for the alignment of nations to exist, for the openness to Antichrist, there must be a major shift towards globalism. The difference in 40 years ago when my dad was preaching this and today was the worldview. The worldview 40 years ago was very nationalistic. The worldview today is much more global. And you could not even imagine getting a nationalistic country to come underneath another world leader somewhere else, no matter what catastrophe happened, until the worldview shifted. Why have things changed? Why has the intentionality of what has been happening in our world happened so slowly? Because it cannot happen, and they know it cannot happen until there is a worldview shift. Because they have to get the common public to move in the same direction. It's important. That means global alliances, global economy, global currency. I mean, I know you see a lot of new currencies popping out. Cryptocurrencies, right? You have a lot of things. In fact, really our currency today is largely, especially if you're here today and you're under 30 years old, you probably don't even have cash in your wallet or much. You have plastic, right? Our currency today is digits on a computer screen primarily, right? And so and ultimately this will lead to a global government and a global, even a global religion. Actually will emerge according to the Bible. So globalism sounds really nice, by the way. And theoretically, it could be beautiful if there was a thing called sinless people. But the problem is when you have sinful people, globalism becomes tyranny. So the reality is, as globalism fully emerges, once it's fully grafted into culture, forget the United States. It just won't matter that much. Think New World Order. Think global. In a global worldview, the goal is pretty much to make every person and every nation virtually equal. And accordingly, everybody answering to the same people. It's all global. One of the biggest catalysts that we have seen towards a global worldview, believe it or not, has been a sickness. Coronavirus, COVID-19. There has never in the history of the world been such a unified response in the world about anything, right? In the history of the world. And it's led to this systematic compliance that has been embraced by virtually everyone in the world, even nations that don't like each other, doing the same thing. It's unprecedented. And by the way, it's the dress rehearsal for what's coming. So again, for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled according to Scripture and the Antichrist to rise to power, globalism has to be the cultural precedent. A world leader, the Antichrist, very possibly he's alive today being readied for global leadership. The Bible teaches that in the end, one world government, one world economy, one world religion will all be dictated by one world leader. And so to imagine this even 20 years ago would have been impossible. It's kind of hard. So how are we going to go from some antagonistic, divided nation to something united under a single leader? We are the world. We are the children. So today, there is a growing platform for globalism. And global unity has gained traction over the last few years. The coronavirus pandemic, the recent political transition has escalated momentum toward globalism dramatically. Much of the world is now embracing globalism, but there's still a lot of resistance to it. Nations like Russia, the United Kingdom, Israel, the United States, and others are still very nationalistic in their worldview. But there's a shift. It's been a tipping point. So this is the fulcrum upon which America finds herself. Globalism versus nationalism. 20 years ago, the world wasn't ready for globalism. But look at this catalyst that has made the world start to say, yeah, we need to think more global. Right? This convenient, invisible enemy that we all have called a virus. The coronavirus has made the world so scared and everybody so freaked out that they're willing to say, yeah, we'll give up some of our identity so that we could feel more safe. Now we see the clamp coming globally here, where unless you have this particular thing, unless you have a vaccine, unless you're marked as having it, you won't be able to travel. It could come to the place you won't be able to buy or sell or go shopping. Am I saying that the vaccine is the mark of the beast? No, I'm not. But I am showing you how culturally we are being conditioned to be open to it. Isn't it funny how a global viral pandemic can so open us to new ideas and change a culture? I have to conform. Now wear a mask, take a vaccine, do things that make me compliant, willing to follow the rules as we move to a united global front. I'm not saying don't wear a mask, I'm not being anti-vaccine, any of that stuff. I'm showing you how things can quickly come in order and how it can condition people worldwide for an inevitable place that we're headed toward. And as believers, we need to see this. Why do we need to see it? So we can resist it? No. We need to see it so we can understand the times in which we live in, so we know how to respond. So we know how important it is to be a light. So we know how important it is to love people. Yeah, the vaccine, I don't care. That's not the point. You see? We make other things the point, and it's not the point. The point is who we are in this earth. God did not make a mistake when he created you to be alive today. He did. There are all kinds of technologies moving forward, things you've never even heard of. I read one just recently, these things called quantum dot tattoos. Has anybody ever heard of quantum dot tattoos? I never even heard of them, where you actually place a sticker on your skin that has microscopic needles that have radioactive signals tattooed in your skin that can be read with a scanner. We talked about microchips. You don't even have to do microchips now. We have stickers, right? You can't even see it, but a scan can take this quantum dot on your skin that holds information about you. Well, that scares me, Pastor Lynn. Well, if you're not right with God, good. It should scare you. But if you're right with God, get ready, because great things are about to happen, right? It's important. They were talking about the quantum dot tattoo in relation to a vaccine so that you can be seen quickly if you've been vaccinated, not if you've been marked with your personal and medical data in a quantum dot. And I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast process. Everything's been the mark of the beast. What you have to understand about the mark of the beast, and I don't have time to talk about that now, is it's not just talking about a mark itself, it's talking about a nature connected to the mark that's very much godless. And some people afraid of the mark, they already have the mark in their heart. But that's another message. So eventually, during the tribulation period, though, if you're not following, if you're not compliant, they'll want to kill you. They will kill you. You can almost see it today. People get violent with each other about things because they're not compliant. We want to attack each other. It's easy to see how quickly an influential world leader will not only be able to create compliance, but others who support the system will become angry against those who don't comply as well. And what really scares me is when I see that happening in the church between church people. You can see the scenario where the world's saying, I'll do it, I'll give up certain liberties, I'll give up certain rights so that I can do what I think should be done, and woe is you if you're not doing what I think I need to do. Beware of those who seek to take care of you, lest your caretaker becomes your jailer. As a student of history and scripture, I often wondered how long it would take the Antichrist to come into power. Now I know, I think it will take about 30 days. It's just about how long it took for the media to terrorize everybody into a submission they didn't even fully understand. In fact, back in this, and I'm going to get to General Jack Keane reported on the news several months ago. This is a quote from the news. China weaponized coronavirus to destroy the economies of democratic nations. I know that's all conspiracy theory and stuff, but that was actually national news. The U.S. economy was booming. I don't know if you knew that, but systematically, it was destroying the forward progress of a global economic development. I preached and showed you this in past messages. I preached this a year ago, in specific, name names. You can go back at the beginning of 2020, March of 2020, I believe it was, and listen to that series by the same title of this update, Stranger Things. We're presently living in a dress rehearsal for what is to come. We're living in an Antichrist dress rehearsal, in a global system dress rehearsal. Literally, a reign of terror will come to planet Earth that will make COVID-19 crisis a walk in the park. Medical experts said initially that COVID-19 would likely affect 80% of the U.S. population and more than 2 million Americans would die. Those statistics were fearful, but the number is not even close to what will happen under a new world order with the Antichrist. He will come with power, he will come with peace and popularity, and everybody will like him. But then he will shift and rule the world with fear. For those on earth in those days, it will be reject Jesus and take a mark or be executed. You see, when you take a mark, when you take the mark of the beast, that nature that comes with it, you end up losing your soul. He has control of your life, the Antichrist. You will not be able to buy or sell, the Bible says, without that mark. You will not be able to buy a slice of bread or a quart of milk to feed your family. Every move you make will be charted. Every dollar you spend will be charted. You have to understand why the Bible is so silent about this part of the world in the end times. Historically, from Genesis 11 to today, Antichrist is not new. It's not something that we've never seen before. Antichrist world order has happened over and over throughout the history of the world, and its objective was always to cast God and his son Jesus Christ off the face of the earth and out of society. The first time this happened came at a place called Babel, where a man named Nimrod rebelled against God in heaven and organized an occultic religion and demanded everyone to follow it. Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, was called the Queen of Heaven. She had a son named Tammuz, whom she said was divine, meaning he was the son of God. History called this the mother-child cult. It had a symbol of a mother holding a baby in her arms. And what it was a counterfeit of a real promise God had made that he would bring a path to pass through Jesus. So this false, manipulative, occultic culture controlled the world for many years until God destroyed it and confused the languages. And the languages have never been reunited globally until this generation. Since that time. Another attempt of Antichrist world order came out of European history. You might know this term, the Illuminati. A lot of secrecy and conspiracy theories have surrounded Illuminati. The name Illuminati means enlightened ones. It, the secret organization that's kind of been mixed together over years with fables and truths, actually is comprised of international financial powers. I preached about this the beginning of last year. People who consider themselves intellectualists and elitists that are gifted and wealthy, and they believe are actually called to rule over all the lesser people of the earth. Their original objective was to produce in Europe and around the world a group of men who had control. It's always about control. Their leadership consisted of Satanists and atheists. How ironic that the followers of the Prince of Darkness would be called the Enlightened Ones. But Satan does present himself as an angel of light. Their true purpose, like other attempts, was to remove God from society. Thirdly, you can look currently, modern days, at the United States of America and its future assimilation into this order. The U.S. dollar, if you look on the back, it's the one bill that has not been updated. Bears the phrase One World Order on the back. Adopted by Congress in 1782. You can see it right under the little pyramid that nobody really knows what it means on the back. Those three words, Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means New World Order. After World War I, President Woodrow Wilson produced what they called the League of Nations in man's relentless pursuit of a one world government. 63 nations joined that league, but unfortunately, they weren't powerful enough yet to stop Adolf Hitler in World War II. And it continues, and it got destroyed, and it continues. And God is being patient, Peter said all this time, so that everyone can come to repentance, can have an opportunity to come to repentance. Fast forward to Adolf Hitler, who told the German people he was going to bring a new world order, the Third Reich. It was going to bring peace and prosperity to the world for 1,000 years. Nazism was a religion and Hitler was their god, and Sieg Heil was a word of praise and worship to Hitler. He dragged the world into a bloodbath, slaughtered 50 million people, systematically murdered 6 million Jewish people, the chosen people of God, his cherished people. Today on forward, the United Nations also wants a new world order. What do they want? Dr. Brock Chisholm, he served as the first director of an organization you've heard a lot about lately. Who? The World Health Organization. And let me quote him. This is a direct quote by Dr. Brock Chisholm, the first director of WHO. He said this, and I quote, "To achieve a new world order, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism. Secondly, their loyalty to their families. And thirdly, their national patriotism. And fourthly, their religion." From the Tower of Babel to the United Nations to the godless members of our U.S. Congress today who desire to kick God out of America and let the laws of the world and Antichrist devour this nation, God will eventually shout, "Enough." He says to America, "You've removed me from your schools. You've cast me out of your universities, mocking and belittling me. You've taken my law from your courtrooms. You've removed my morals from your culture. You've taken my word out of my church and replaced it with anecdotes and self-help narratives." God says, "You've murdered 60 million innocent babies through abortion. You've spat on the covenant of marriage. Your sins are equivalent to Sodom and Gomorrah." He says, "You have rejected me, America. And I will reject you." Now, God could say that to this country today, but for the sake of the church, for the sake of you and me, for the sake of the evangelization of the world, he sustains us with his mercy. But listen and hear my words. It will not last forever. There are always consequences to a nation who turns its back on God. And God will say at some point in the near future, "I will turn Satan's Messiah loose on the earth," if that's what you want. His name will be the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. Son of perdition means actually son of Satan. And a generation is already prepared for it. Have you noticed how the glorification of Satan and demonology are dominating the screens of your television? There are horrible acts of satanic perversion. You can see it from the Disney Channel to the News Channel. And we're just numb to it. It's just so common, we're numb to it. But let me tell you, one day, this savior of the world called Antichrist will make Hitler look like a choir boy. The Bible says he's going to slaughter 1/4 of the earth's population in that 7-year period called the tribulation. In the name of peace, he will wage war on the entire earth. And for those of you who miss the rapture, you're going to experience these things. There will be destruction of the monetary system. You're watching the death of the dollar happen right now. The system is preparing us to see the death of our currency. Why? With digital dollars, the government can totally be in control. I recently heard a leading banker respond to this question. How quickly could America drop the dollar and be in a world of digital dollars? His response was literally overnight. Places today, I was talking to my wife on the way to church this morning, there's places today that won't even accept coins. It's all setting it up to be cashless and global. Let me tell you something, especially those who follow cultural trends and demands of our day, there's only one way you will make it. And it's not from a better government or a program. It's from faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being careful. You need to be careful. But a mask and hand sanitizer will not save you. Only God can save you. A government stimulus will not sustain you. There's only one God who can supply your every need. And he is in the highest heavens, not in Washington, D.C. Our government deliberately abandoned the gold system in 1965. That means the money in your pocket, the dollar in your wallet, is called fiat money. For those of you who didn't take economics, that means it's a currency that is backed by nothing. The transition will be easy. We're ready to jump into a new system. For 50 years, it's been progressively moving toward that, right? It's so slow, we don't notice it, but it's happening. I'm not even talking about conspiracies and underlying things. I'm talking about very open things you can get on Google right now and research. In Revelation 13:7, you don't have to turn there. It says it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is referring to the Antichrist. We'll have complete authority. Our nation will emerge into a one-world economy, a one-world government, and a one-world religion. The good news is that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be gone before all of that happens. Let me show you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. This is Paul writing to the church. The mystery of lawlessness is already working. It's iniquity. I've got a different translation up there than the one I'm reading from. But I like that word lawlessness. Only he who now restrains... Who is that? Or he who letteth will let. This is King James that you're seeing on the screen behind me. It's talking about restraining. Will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Let me give you the translation of that. The mystery of lawlessness is the spirit of Antichrist. Paul said that spirit is already in this age. And let me tell you, if it was in that age, it's definitely in this one. Only he who now hinders, who is the hindrance to lawlessness? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is hindering the work of Satan in the earth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Bible says in John 6:44, no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you are what? You are salt and you are light in the day that we live in. And Satan is literally hindered, and delays are happening today, because not because a time clock hasn't struck the top of the clock in heaven, but because you are still in the earth, and the Spirit of God is in you, and you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth, and you are the one that can restrain the very forces of the enemy on this earth until the time that the Lord comes back for his people. You have to understand how important it is to be the church, to be in the church, to be a part of the church. Why Satan is trying to pull people out of the church, because he understands that it is the Church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, that can resist him. And that's where we are today. You're what? You're salt and you're light. And like we said last week, the Spirit and Word agree. Some think that the church is going to go through the wrath of the tribulation, but it's not possible because as long as the church is in the earth, the Antichrist can't be revealed. As long as the church is in the earth, there is a wall. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. There is a wall that's stopping the gates of hell to fully come in and take over. It's being set up. Pieces are being aligned. Things are coming together. We need to pay attention, but you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is in you. That means with that, you have a divine purpose for the day and time that you live in. You need to know the gospel. You need to live the gospel. You need to be the light in the world that we live in because we have a limited number of time, limited number of days. Before it will be too late. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. The season of God's grace one day as we know it will shift. And the trial of tribulation will commence. We're looking into the time of the end right now. America has sealed her fate. Things are beginning to slowly move and shift toward the end. My question for you is this today. Are you personally ready to meet Jesus Christ in the air? One day, not far off, boom, just like that, we'll be gone. And a bunch of people are going to be sitting here. Oh, what happened? Listen, nothing prophetic has to be fulfilled that hasn't been fulfilled before Jesus can return. Hear me. The coming of Jesus Christ, there's a doctrine in theology called imminence. That means he can come whenever he wants to come. Saints of God, we're going to a city one day that is more beautiful than you could ever imagine. A city where roses never fade. A city where the word goodbye has never been spoken. We're going to a place where tears have never been shed. We're going to a city that has never seen suffering, that knows no sorrow, that knows no separation. It knows no sickness. There will be no cancer there. There will be no COVID there. There will be no pain there. There will be no death there. There will be no suffering. We're going to a city where the redeemed wear crowns of glory and robes of righteousness. We're going to walk on streets of gold to mansions of splendor. We're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our healer. He is our burden bearer. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is Emmanuel. He is the hope of glory. He is the great I am. He is the Lord God forever and ever. Can somebody shout glory? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel the presence of God stirring the people of God. That's why we're here. That's why you're alive. That's why these are the most exciting, incredible times you could ever imagine to be able to see and be a part of. Come on, just close your eyes with me. I have so much more to share. I just want to stop right here. I just want you to close your eyes with me. The greatest question you could ever answer in your life. If you're watching online right now on live stream, I want you to stop where you are and just close your eyes with me. The greatest question you could ever answer in your life is this. Are you ready for Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet him in the clouds of heaven? Come on, those of you who are here right now, those of you who are watching across America and in other nations of the world today, there is no distance in prayer. If there's something in your life that you need to get right with God, he'll come and make it right. If there's something in your life you need Christ to forgive, he'll forgive. Listen, it's not too late. Today is not too late Tomorrow maybe is too late. Today is not too late. Whatever you need from Jesus, this will be the day of days if you will receive him into your life. Holy Spirit, just begin to move across this place. Begin to move across this room right now. With your eyes closed, I want to read this final scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says that one day the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Here's the verse I want you to hear, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this year that for his people, the next season of time would be like Ephraim, the son of Joseph, whose name means, I will make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. Today, the hand of God is stretched over you. If you are the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, it does not matter what happens around you. God will raise you above it. Around you is collapsing. He can sustain you when everything around you is falling apart. Somebody here can already give testimony to that. You've already seen him do that for you before. Today, God is calling you to himself that he could bless you and make you fruitful even in a time of insecurity, even in a difficult place. Whether it's the chaos that we're experiencing now, whether it's a time of peace that's going to follow the chaos, it doesn't matter whether waves are high or low, the hand of God will come and sustain you as long as you keep your eyes on him. It's the secret of Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on top of what other people were drowning in. Today, God is bringing you to himself. His hand is stretched out to you. You might say, Pastor Lynn, I feel like Peter when he was sinking in the water. Well, reach your hand out today. Jesus will grab your hand. There's one way and one thing that matters today. I know I've said some strong words, and my intention was not to be offensive. My intention was to pull you to him. My intention was to put your focus on him before everything else that concerns you today. My intention today is to bring you to a place of blessing. Jesus, I feel like electric, the electric presence of God. I feel it just even in my physical body right now. I feel it. And today, God is calling for you. Today, God is reaching for you. Today, God is going to pull you up. If you're his child, you feel like you're sinking. Come on, the hand of God is pulling you back up. If you've been discouraged, if you've been battling, if you've been fighting sickness, God is the healer today. If you're here today and you say, I don't even know if my right life is right with God today. Today, he's calling you to himself. Today, he's here to forgive you and to embrace you and bring you into his arms. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to just delay. Would you stand to your feet right now? If you're here today, or even if you're watching online, you say, Pastor Lynn, my life isn't where it needs to be with God, but today I need to get some things right with him. I want to get things right. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you want me to include you in that prayer, just right where you're standing, just hold your hand up and just wave it at me. I want to include you in that prayer right now. Several of you, some of you watching online, I can't see your hand, but I know right now God is going to do something. And I want to do something, and I don't always do it this way, but I just want everybody to join me in this prayer. I want you to lift both of your hands up to heaven. That's just a sign that says I'm surrendering to God. I just like a surrender sign. And with your hands lifted, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I come to you just like I am. Take my life, every part of it, and make me yours. Wash me clean. Jesus, you died for me. And I receive your forgiveness, your gift of love. And I give my life to you right now. Make me your son or your daughter. In the name of Jesus. Now, with your hands lifted right where you're at your seats, if you're watching online, I want you to just make your own words to heaven right now. Just make your own words to God right now. Maybe you know the Lord and you're right with God, but there's things that you're just saying, God, get me refocused. Sometimes, God has dealt with me so much in the last 3 months about my focus, about refocusing, about getting things reshifted. Come on, God, sometimes, whether you're a pastor, whatever you sometimes you just got to recalibrate, and God is recalibrating you right now. Come on, just pray to him. Tell him, speak your words to him right now. Tell him, Lord, show me my purpose. Show me what you've called me to do in the earth. Show me who I'm called to be. If you're watching on live stream, come on, you lift your hands, pray to God right now. This is a time for the church to cry out to God, to know who we are in the earth, to see the things coming on the earth, not with distress, but with joy, knowing that we are the salt of the world and the light of the world today. Jesus, stir us up. Stir us up, stir us up, stir us up. Jesus, come on, Lord. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Just tell him that. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Come on, worship him together. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Make it a prayer. Don't just sing words to a song. Come on, let your heart stretch up to heaven today. Tell him, God, nothing else can get in front of you. Nothing else can matter more. Nothing else, Jesus. A lot of things we're involved in, but you're first, Jesus. You are the center. I want you, God. I need you, God. Jesus, nothing else will do.
Nothing else, nothing else will do.
Right now, as you're watching online and everyone here in the auditorium, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I'm just going to ask those that are in our ministry team to come forward. In just a moment, we're going to pray for those who, if you have needs in your life or sickness in your body, we want to pray, because the same God that saves is the same God that heals and sustains and provides and answers. Jesus. Holy Spirit, Lord, I stretch my hands over this congregation. I stretch my hands over our congregation, Lord God, that are having to watch from a distance today. Lord, I stretch my hands, Lord, over those connected to us around the world, those that are watching for whatever reason. Lord, I pray that your blessings, God, in Deuteronomy 28, you said if we will obey you, Lord, if we will follow what you tell us to do, that your blessings will overtake us. So God, I thank you right now that the blessings of God will overtake us today, God. Lord, that the blessings of God will overtake your people, Jesus. And Lord, that we'll see something so powerful that we've never seen. God, I just see this place filled wall to wall with people hungry for God. I see this place, God, with people being healed, people being raised up, Jesus. I see a mighty movement going from this place into other cities, other churches, other nations, oh God. Lord, I thank you that the blessings that overtake us will be, like you said, overflowing. Like when we give, like the windows of heaven open and we can't contain it. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that your blessings today are going with us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that prayer today, just give the Lord an offering of your praise. Amen.